This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Oh God, our Father, thank you for the visitation of your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, as I stand to proclaim your word, give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Might rightly divide the word of truth. Speak to me and speak through me, that your word will go forth. It's our prayer in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. Second Chronicles 7 and 14. Second Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. I want to talk about this is what it's going to take. Thank you, Urshas. This is what it's going to take. No matter how things may look, God is still with us. In the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials, we can be sure, assured, that God is with us. And if you would write down everything that you have been through, there will be enough paper to write it all. You could have lost your mind by now, but you're still here. You could have thrown in the towel by now, but you're still here. No, it's not easy what we are dealing with. But can I tell you something? You're not the only one going through some stuff. All of us are going through some stuff. And all of us that are doing God's will are going through things that are unfavorable. But what makes us who we are and our resolve to tell the devil that we are not rookies, we are not new to this thing. It's going to take more than that to break me. It's going to take more than that for me to walk away from God. It's going to take more than that to stop me from praising God. And I don't know what you've been through, but I know what I've been through. And we have been in this thing too long. We have seen God turn too many situations around. We have seen God heal too many bodies. We have seen God uprooted the heartbroken to doubt God now. How many can testify and say, I still believe he's with us? Oh, my brothers and sisters, We are going through some things. And can I tell you, the things that we are presently going through as it relates to the pandemic, you can't blame the devil for everything. If everybody would have rolled up their sleeves and trusted the men and women that God created to know about our anatomies, this thing would have mutated, wouldn't have mutated the way it had. You can't blame Satan for everything. If you would follow the proper protocols and stop moving too fast to get back into society, things would have been better. But through it all, even if it's our own fault, God can still be trusted. Preacher, what it's going to take for us to get back to where we once were? What it's going to take for us to embrace what we once embraced? Well, the text tells us exactly what it's going to take. He opens up the text by using one word. He said, if. It's one of the smallest words in the English language, and yet can have some of the biggest effects in a person's life. The dictionary defines if as the cause or reason or motive for something to happen. If the word invokes a response to action. The word if is considered the cause portion of the cause and effect in English grammar. And when if statements are used, they are generally followed by then statements. A then statement tells us what will happen to do to fulfill the if statement. And if you don't believe me, it's right here in your text. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins. Notice the Lord said, his people that are called by his name. We are all God's creation, but we are not all God's people. It kills me when I hear people get up and say, we are all children of God. No, we're not. We all are part of God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Somebody say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you must have read your Bible. Because John chapter 1 verse 12 said, but as many as received him, to them he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To become a son, a child of God, you must believe on him. You must believe that he went to the cross. You must believe that he died on the cross. You must believe that he went into the grave, and by the power of God, he got up early the third day morning, and now I've become a child of God. And now God said, those who are called by my name, if my people. In other words, for this thing to turn around, it's going to be up to us. You're sitting here waiting on the government to do it, but God didn't say if the government would. You're sitting here waiting on the president. God didn't say if the president would. You're sitting here waiting on the governor to say something to come to your rescue. But God didn't say if the governor would. You're sitting here checking the mailbox day in and day out looking for a little stimulus. But God didn't say if the stimulus would. He said, but if my people, the church folk, the ones that shout every Sunday, the one that trusts God, the one that say, I believe that he's able. He said, my people. The ones I've been a bridge over troubled water for. The one I've been bred when they're hungry for. The one that I clothed when they were naked. The ones that I healed their body. He said, if my people, if the preachers would, if the deacons would, if the choir members would, if the church member would. He said, if my people who are called by my name. And we are called by his name because we are called children of God. And I believe that if you are a child, you should have some attributes of your father. When people would look at my son, Junior, they'll tell me all the time, preacher, there's no denying that fact. He looks like you. He walks like you. He almost talks like you. There's no denying that. And so that's how we are. If God is our father, then you should have some of his attributes. You should kind of walk like him. You should kind of talk like him. You try to treat your neighbor the way God has treated you. He said, if my people who are called by my name, look what he says. Now, here's the requirement for my people. He said, this is what it's going to take, would humble themselves. Write this down. The first thing it's going to take is going to take us to bow. Look, humility is the freedom from arrogance that shows a recognition that says that all that I have and all that I am, I owe it to God. But see, people look at humbleness and equate it with weakness and worthlessness. And I tell them all the time, Tiger, don't take my kindness for a weakness. Don't think because I love God that I'm a pushover. Don't put in your mind that, oh, I can just do anything to him. He's a child of baby. Look, I haven't reached the full plateau yet. I don't know about you. Can I be real with you? I haven't reached that turn the other cheek part yet. You slap me, something may set off up in here. Come on, you can't be real with God if you're not real with yourself. Don't stand in the church house and lie and say you are at this level of faith and you know you're not there yet. I wish I had somebody to testify. Do I have some not there yet folk in here? I'm doing the best I can, but I ain't there yet. I'm praying the hardest I can, but I'm not there. Can't nobody set it off like Christians can set it off. But I recognize in my humility as I humble myself, I exalt him. He said, unless we humble ourselves, in street slang, it simply means get off your high horse. Quit thinking that you are better. It kills me when some people even think their churches are better. They got the nerve to tell you the name of their church and they, oh, I go such and such and my pastor. Baby, that don't make you no better. You don't get no points with God because of who your pastor is and where you decide to worship, because your church family is not going to stand before you before God. The trustee board won't be there. Matter of fact, the pastor you lifting up won't be there. You better get your credentials ready between God and yourself. And to get there, you got to humble yourself. Deny yourself and take up the cross. We have to get down. We have to bow. When we come in the Lord's house, we fall in submission to his word, will, and way. I don't care who you are in society. When you come in God's presence, you got to bow. Judges got to bow. Attorneys got to bow. Doctors got to bow. CEOs got to bow. The president got to bow. Everybody got to bow in humble submission. He said, if my people would humble themselves, that's what it's going to take. We got to come in here bowing. But then he said something else from Slaughter. He said, humble themselves and pray. Not only do you have to bow, but secondly, you got to kneel. Prayer is our communication line to God. James 5:6 says, the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is our way of expressing thanks to God, adoration and confession to God. Some of us don't pray until we are asked. Let me say it again. Some of us don't pray until we are asked. And we have grown accustomed to prayer preliminaries. Here it is, your child, needy, bent body, have already bowed. You've heard me pray days in past and gone, but I don't see these prayers in the Bible. The most effective prayers I see in the Bible is, Lord, have mercy. Have you ever had a Lord have mercy moment? You ain't have time for prayer preliminary. You just had to say, Lord, have mercy. Giving you a bad report. You ain't hear this. You didn't say, here, this your child need to be in body and all. You said, Lord, have mercy. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-22 teach us to pray without ceasing. My brothers and sisters, when I pray, the Bible says when you pray, it says seek his face in the text. Matter of fact, when I'm seeking his face while I'm praying, I'm seeking to understand God's character and anticipating to hear his voice. That means that my prayer is generated only for God's hearing. Oh, y'all didn't get what I'm saying. My prayer is generated only for God's hearing. Even when I pray publicly, it is not to impress you, but to talk to him. God ears are the only ears that I'm concerned about that hear my prayer. Because you can sit out there all day long and I can pray, you ain't gonna do nothing about it. I can get up and pray, I'm hungry and ain't ate for days, and you'll still walk out of here. But when I talk to the Lord about it, see, when you talk to the Lord about your situation, he's gonna do something about it. Is there anybody can testify and say, when I had a little talk with him, he did something about it. When I needed him, he did something about it. While my heart was hurting, he did something about it. His ears are the only ears you want to hear when you pray. He said, "Would humble themselves and pray." When we look at the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, our Father which in heaven, that's power. Hallowed be thy name, that's priority. Thy kingdom come, that's program. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's a plan. Give us this day our daily bread, that's provision. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, that's pardon. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, that's protection. And from thy kingdom come power and glory forever, amen, that's promise. So when I pray, I got power, priority, program, plan, provision, pardon, protection, and a promise. That's why I can shout when I talk to God. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying. When I talk to God, not to you, but when I talk to God, not to you, but when I, you ain't get it yet. When I talk to God, not to you, and when God talks back to me and I talk back to him, I get power, priority, program, plan, provision, pardon, protection, and a promise. That's why I can shout in the midst of my prayer, because he hears my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then he says something else. He says, and turn. So I've got, what's it going to take, preacher? I got the bow, I got the kneel, and I've got to turn. Turn from that wicked ways, where we get the word repent. Repent means to move away from something and to turn your back on it and never go back to it again. Repent, the prefix re means to bring back to the point of origin. The word pent is where we get the word penthouse, means high state. So when you fall beneath the standard by which God had created you. But when you repent, the prefix means to bring back to the original state. Pent means the high point. That means I fell off the high point, but when I repent and really and truthfully repent, he brings me back from where I fell from. Y'all, I wish I had somebody to testify. When Peter was walking on the water with Jesus, as long as he kept his eyes on him, he was walking on the water with Jesus. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he fell in the water. But when he cried, Lord, save me, Jesus grabbed him by the hand and put him back on the water. Oh, y'all ain't get what I'm saying. He fell on in the water, but Jesus put him back on the water. Y'all ain't get where he fell from, Jesus put him right back on top. I wish I had somebody to testify and say, preacher, I've messed up. I fell and I believed the standard, but when I trusted God and when I turned from my wicked ways, he put me back from where I once was. And since I'm here again, I'm not going to mess up like that no more. God's been too good to me. Wicked ways. He said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now, what? Watch the text. Remember, he said, if my people, am I correct? Yeah. If my people would bow, kneel, and turn. Now, when he says turn from their wicked ways, he wasn't talking about the sinners. See, when we read this text, the first thing we think, he talking about this world and neither. Oh, no, he wasn't talking about the sinner. He said, if my people will turn from their wicked way. Can I tell you something? Saved folk got some wicked ways. We saved, but we got some wicked ways. There's still some treachery in us. There's still some low-down stuff about us. But aren't you glad for grace and mercy? He said, turn from your wicked ways. You got wicked ways when you can lift hand to God but won't shake my hand. You got wicked ways when you are speaking tongue but won't speak to me. You got wicked ways to take communion and say, do in remembrance of me and hate your brother. You sit on side every day. There's some wicked ways about all of us. Can I get all of us to testify? There is some wickedness in all of us. But greater is he that is in me. He said, if my people, he said, do y'all want to know what it's going to take for this thing to subside? He said, you got to bow, kneel, and turn. That's the if part. He said, if you do this, then, y'all get what I'm saying, then will I hear from heaven. Before he heals the land, the text says he got to forgive us of our sins. And for God to forgive us of our sins, we got to confess our sins to him. And the reason why this world is going the way it is, quit blaming people in Japan and in a sign saying it's all their fault. No, it wasn't. God has used that as a tool to start a process to get us back on our knees again. Y'all don't get what I'm saying. We are blaming everybody but ourselves. See, we got too comfortable with God's provisions. And we thought that since we've got God's provisions, that we don't need to pray the way we used to. We don't need to shout the way we used to. It don't take all of that to praise the Lord. God said, well, I'm going to show you it will. Because now the same folk that wouldn't shout in the church have to be limited to shout in the living room. You had an opportunity to raise your hand in the sanctuary, and now you're locked up in your house and you have no choice. But can I tell you something? Those that are locked in, don't feel bad. While you're there, still praise him. While you're locked up, still praise him. How many can testify that my praise is not limited to Sunday morning? My worship is not limited to a house of prayer. Every time I think about how good the Lord has been to me, I can be in the car all by myself. I say, God, here it is. I can be standing in a line at Walmart. And when I think about it, I got the money to pay for this food. God, here it is. Said, if you bow, kneel, and turn. Y'all ready for this? There are three things we had to do. Bow, kneel, and turn. And God said, when you do three things, I'm going to do three things. If you bow, kneel, and turn, I answer, forgive, and heal. Y'all need to get what I'm saying. If you bow, kneel, turn, I'll answer, forgive, and heal. It's right here in the text. He said, if you bow, kneel, and turn, he said, then will I hear from heaven. That's an answer. Forgive their sin, that's forgiveness, and heal their land. This is what it's going to take, my brothers and sisters, but I don't know about you this morning. I realize that where we are, it's really our fault. But I thank God for his loving kindness. But I thank God, I now know what it takes to bow, kneel, and turn. You know something else is going to take? We've got to learn to love each other. Like the old warriors used to love each other. When I was a little lad of a boy in Woodworth, Louisiana, I just see them old folk. When one had a goat, the whole community had a goat. When one had a pig, the whole community had a pig. And we've got to get back to that. But if I've been blessed, that means you are blessed also. God has blessed me to bless you. And my brothers and my sisters, 2 Chronicles 7:14 has told us what it's going to take. If that's possibility, my people, that's personal, which are called by my name, that's paternal, shall humble themselves, that's preparation, and pray, that's privilege, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's progress, then will I hear from heaven, that's procedure, forgive their sins, that's pardon, and heal their land, that's property. And I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad I know what it takes. And since I know what it takes, I came to Mount Zion this morning to bow before the presence of the Lord, to pray in the presence of the Lord, to turn from my wicked ways. Is there anybody here that are willing to bow, kneel, and turn? God, if I want your blessings, I've got to be willing to bow, kneel, and turn. Well, when I was in high school, there were always exercises in our gym class. And in the exercise, the coach would come out and he would do some things. And he said, I need you to do what I do. Well, Mount Zion is going to be like a big gym class. And I'm going to be your coach. If you want God to move, you've got to learn to bow, kneel, and turn. Is there anybody here is willing to bow, kneel, and turn? And if you do that, the Lord said, what I'll do, I'll answer your prayer. I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. And I don't know about y'all, I'm going to obey, but I'm sick and tired of wearing these masks. But even with a mask on, they can't hinder my praise. Ain't God all right? Has he been mighty good to you? Is there anybody here want to lift up holy hands and say, Jesus, you are the answer. Jesus, you are all I need. Ain't he all right to